I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Good evening. If I were smart, I'd go home now. Mr. Speaker, Madam Vice President, members of Congress, my fellow Americans, in January 1941, Franklin Roosevelt came to this chamber to speak to the nation, and he said, I address you at a moment unprecedented in the history of the Union. Hitler was on the march. War was raging in Europe. President Roosevelt's purpose was to wake up Congress and alert the American people that this was no ordinary time. Freedom and democracy were under assault in the world. Tonight, I come to this same chamber to address the nation. Now, it's we who face an unprecedented moment in the history of the Union. And yes, my purpose tonight is to wake up the Congress and alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault at home as they are today. What makes our moment rare is that freedom and democracy are under attack at both at home and overseas.
Joe Biden last night, when he began, if I were smart, I'd probably go home. You heard the yells. I really couldn't discern if it was mostly Democrats or Republicans agreeing with him. But then he continued his State of the Union address. And, of course, the point being made at the end that not since the Civil War has our country been in such distress, equating the differences of opinion between left and right in Biden's mind and on the progressive left and on the far, far right, that we are so divided that we are at a civil war occasion again. I don't think we are, and I pray we don't get there, but it's going to take common sense and acceptance of the other side to some extent without giving up your principles to avoid that kind of divide. But I've got a guest coming up later in this hour that says this administration is directly responsible for some of the latest assaults upon American citizens who do not agree with the progressive left. In fact, again, another case of how the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, every federal agency they have, including the IRS, weaponized to use against Americans. That in itself is reason enough to stand up and say, no, we're not going to accept it. So if that's what the president was trying to allude to, that we will not lay down and let them walk over us with onerous laws, unfair, unconstitutional acts, then yes, we will be at war. Hopefully calmer heads will prevail. Right now, Joe Biden is hearing only one drumbeat, and that's the one coming from the left, the progressive left. And even many Democrats don't want to go down that road. Thank you for joining us. Here we are, March 8, 2024. First hour, Larry Connors, USA. First of 2 hours right here for you, back-to-back, every Monday through Friday night. And perchance you can't listen directly at that time we're on the air, you can always pull up a podcast. I'll tell you how in a moment. And I'll remind you, when we're on the air, we're also streaming video for you at Larry Connors, USA, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter, News Talk STL, Facebook, Rumble, Twitter, and on YouTube for them. And if you miss anything, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com, and you can pull it up and watch or listen as you choose, or at LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Now, last night, of course, Joe Biden was trying to make a lot of solid points. And, of course, keep in mind, I hope this is his last State of the Union address. In other words, he will not be reelected. But last night, again, and in just talking to people, they had the same kind of attitude I did. He seemed to be yelling and angry. I mean, maybe he was intending to try to show, look, I'm feisty. I can brawl. I can get in the mud and fight with you if I need to. That's how I am, baby.
I hear.
And I'm sorry, Quentin, I gave you a false cue there, but it is his anger the way it was going. And it was kind of like I had said the other day when he was sounding strident and yelling again. It reminds me, I'm sorry, but it reminds me of an old man out in his yard yelling at the kid, get off my yard, get off my yard, once again to Joe Biden.
My heritage economy is on the brink. Now our economy is literally the envy of the world. Wages keep going up, inflation keeps coming down. Taking the most significant action ever on climate in the history of the world. No one has a stronger record with Israel than I do. My fellow Americans, the issue facing our nation isn't how old we are, it's how old are our ideas. Hate, anger, revenge, retribution are the oldest of ideas. Yes. But you can't lead America with ancient ideas. It'll only take us back.
It would take us back. So forget my age. I have new ideas because I'm not going to take us back. And, of course, he did not refer to Trump directly. He called him my predecessor 12 to 13 different times but would not mention his name. And, of course, bragging on what he claims were some of his accomplishments. I want you to listen to a clip from Maria Bartiromo with former Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz on their take on Biden last night.
The president brought up his crackdown on junk fees, honesty from online ticket sellers, and shrinkflation, joking about Snickers bars getting smaller. Jason, your reaction?
The president did not address the big issues of the day. He did not offer anything about how we're going to deal with inflation. He didn't talk about energy independence. He talked about some of these EVs that he's going to do, trying to talk to the people of Michigan, but he never addressed that. They went to the same old playbook Democrats always go to. They promised that they're going to raise taxes. For those watching this show, involved and engaged in business, that he wants to raise the corporate tax rate. He wants to raise taxes. He wants the government to spend more. No mention of the $1 trillion that we're going to have to spend servicing our national debt. None of that was mentioned here. And these are yet the drivers. And for the average person who's sitting home saying, how is it that you're going to help drive down the cost of my Five Guys meal, which is going to cost me more than $20, that he didn't address any of that.
Now, again, that's their take. That's a partisan take. Let me give you another partisan take, this from CNN. And here's how they list it, according to their reporter writing it. This would be, they call it the five takeaways from the State of the Union. In fact, if you just read what they say here, you should know everything about the president's State of the Union address. Number one, Biden takes on Trump. But then they add that he may not have uttered his predecessor's name during his remarks, but there was a little question. Trump is at the center of the State of the Union. In that speech that is a particularly politically targeted yearly address. And many were complaining on the left as well as the right. It was sounded more like a campaign speech than a State of the Union. Well, he's in campaign mode. And then the second takeaway, Biden delivers an unpredictable, freewheeling speech. Unpredictable. I'm seeing how where they find that. They say, they're talking about normally it's filled with basic affairs, predictable list of justice and policies. This was a raucous State of the Union, one of the more raucous, and he engaged with Republicans, and that he did. I'll get to that for you in a moment. And they say he also showed up energetic and forceful amid concerns over his age, kind of what I was referring to earlier. It's not my age, man. You got to look at my ideas. My ideas are young. And they add, the president makes a strong case for American leadership abroad. Well, you don't need to tell the American people we need a strong leadership. You need to make sure the foreign leaders of the rest of the world know we have a strong leadership, Joe Biden. And they also add, the incumbent president takes a shot at reshaping and resetting the 2024 narrative. What do they say that CNN believes that he was doing to reshape the narrative? They point out that polls show many voters still sour about the direction our country is heading, despite an economy that is, again, by most measures, roaring back from the COVID-19 years. And asked in surveys, many Americans have little idea of the accomplishments Biden has been working for to help bring the economy back. You know why? You know why? Because he's comparing to what it was when he came into office. And it's still not back to what it was when Trump was in office before COVID. Those pesky little facts that keep coming around. They just bother the hell out of me and you sometimes, right? And Joe Biden had no problem in actually stepping up and sparring with the GOP members in the House last
night. They added more to the national debt than any presidential term in American history. Check the numbers. The bipartisan bill with the toughest set of border security reforms we've ever seen. Oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like that bill, huh? That conservatives got together and said it was a good bill? I'll be darned. That's amazing. The Border Patrol Union has endorsed this bill. The Federal Chamber of Commerce is... Yeah. You're saying, no, look at the facts. I know you know how to read.
Well, Joe Biden, if you know how to read, then you should have read the remarks from the Border Patrol Union the other day. Say, we don't even want our name coming out of your mouth. And behind him, of course, you had the vice president. She's smiling and smirking all the time, smugly. And Speaker Mike Johnson, also in his place behind the president. Contained, restrained, but shaking his head. No, that's not right. That's not right. Lincoln Riley Hope, he did bring up, but only after shouts from GOP members, possibly led by Marjorie Taylor Greene. But Biden blew those remarks, and even progressives were upset. I'll have more on that coming up before the end of this hour. Plus a dire warning from Tucker Carlson before we wrap up this hour. But keep in mind that while Democrats loved Biden's speech, here's a perfect example, Senator Chuck Schumer.
This was a speech that had a whole lot of detail, a whole lot of what I want to do and how I want to get it done. But it also was a speech that showed Joe Biden has that fight in him, that when he talks about the middle class, when he talks about the things he believes in, he has fight, he has strength. We walked out of that speech exhilarated. And this is the Joe Biden Americans are going to see, Joe. I mean, you're right. Now that Trump is the nominee, that's one part of the new phase. But the other is, you know, Joe Biden's a governor, or small g. He gets things done together with our Democratic Senate majority. We had the greatest 2 years that we've had in a very long time in terms of production for middle class people, for American values. But that takes a lot of time and effort. Now he's out there selling what he did, talking about what he wants to do in much more of a campaign mode. That's just fine. And let me tell you, anyone who sat in that room, who listened to that speech, knows that Joe Biden's going to win the election and have a great second term. I am excited.
I'm so glad he's excited. I hope he didn't wet his pants in the process, because that excitement, I do not buy, Chuck Schumer. But you go ahead and sell it the best way you can. And he's on with Morning Joe of MSNBC. Morning Joe once was a Republican congressman, but now he's all bought in to the left side because he's got an anchor chair, you know. And when you get an anchor chair, you better walk the line they want you to. So he's talking to Chuck Schumer about the differences in all the things he's seen and what we saw last night.
I've been in a few of these. I don't think I've ever seen any State of the Union in all my time where one party was back on their heels as much as Donald Trump's MAGA party was last night.
You bet. Call me giddy. Call me exhilarated. Joe, this speech showed that America is strong and Joe Biden is strong. And you are right. One of the most fascinating scenes for me was the sullenness of the Republicans. They weren't out there yelling and screaming, a few, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene. As long as she's the representative of the Republican Party, impetuous, angry, pro-life, former QAnon supporter, that's fine. Let her be the face of the party. But mainly, the Republicans were sitting there looking at their faces. It was a great moment.
A great moment? Well, I told you yesterday that Speaker Mike Johnson admonished the Republicans in advance the other day. Let's keep the heckling and everything down to a minimum. Let's don't go overboard with it, despite what he says. And Johnson sat there and just in the background behind Biden, shaking his head. No, that's not right. No, that's not right either. No, that's not right. But didn't yell out or anything. And there's some heckling from the crowd. Hard to identify exactly who. Probably Marjorie Taylor Greene was involved a couple of times. We did have a Gold Star father whose son died in the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. He interrupted. He was hollering out during the address. He started shouting out, remember Afghanistan. Specifically, he was referring to the Abbey Gate where his son and 14, 15 other members of our service were killed when a suicide bomber got close enough while we were supposedly guarding the international airport in Kabul to get Afghans out that we had said we would make sure they got to safety since they helped us during our time in Afghanistan. And we allowed a sniper, or rather a suicide bomber, to get close enough to detonate his explosive and kill Marines, a Navy corpsman, and an Army officer. So the Gold Star father, whose son was a Lance Corporal with the Marines, was arrested after he was heckling from the audience toward Biden. Why would you arrest him, really? That's just, again, showing what we can do if we want to, which brings me to Tucker Carlson and what he says Biden's going to have to do if he wants to win this election.
Joe Biden can't win. In a fair election, Joe Biden will lose in November. He cannot win. That's the thing that nobody in any media wants to say out loud. In a fair election, Joe Biden cannot win. So they're saying the opposite. Here, for example, is the pregame analysis over at MSNBC, which we watch while waiting for Biden to dodder up to the stage, waiting for the amphetamines to take effect. And keep in mind, as you watch this analysis, these are supposedly the smart kids. These are the smart kids, the ones with complicated glasses. These are the ones the White House looks to for guidance. And here's their analysis of Joe Biden's skills. Watch this.
This seems like a weirdly, like a counterintuitive hot take, even though it's the most obvious thing you could say, which is that Joe Biden is good at politics.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Like, Joe Biden is good at politics. He's very good at politics. Like, the man really does know what he's doing, and you really see it in those sort of situations.
Joe Biden is just really good at politics. It's the one thing he's really good at. Really? If Joe Biden is so good at politics, why is he losing to Donald Trump, who the rest of us were assured was a retarded racist who no normal person would vote for? But now Joe Biden is getting stomped by Donald Trump, but he's also at the same time good at politics?
Good point. And Tucker Carlson suggesting the only way Biden can win is by stealing the election. More from Tucker Carlson coming up in our next hour. You'll want to make sure you hear that. And, of course, the GOP response last night. Good, weak, and different for many of you. And also a smoking gun document showing how a far-left group was feeding information to the DOJ. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer, Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C, and it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails, and of course Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton, and I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I got me a gal in Pekin. She's a good old gal, okay. Oh, she's sitting there waiting by a window fan on a long, hot summer day. For every day I'm working on the Illinois River, get a half a day off with pay. Oh, slow boat picking up barges on a
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I have a question for you. In fact, several. Are you a parent? Are you a conservative? Are you Christian? Do you have any religion? Are you worried about the government controlling your kids and taking control from you and under the guise that they know what's best? And is somebody behind this that is encouraging and giving ammo to the Department of Justice, the FBI, the CIA, to make sure that you are targeted? Well, my guest has been looking into that. Tyler O'Neill with the Heritage Foundation, overseeing the day-to-day operations of the Daily Signal. Tyler, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, I'm looking at a piece you wrote, Smoking Gun. Biden DOJ took advice from group demonizing concerned parents, and you have documents that you've reprinted. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so what we've seen, and I mean, this isn't entirely new, but what we have in these documents is the drop-dead proof that this organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is notorious for putting mainstream conservative and Christian organizations on a hate map with chapters of the Ku Klux Klan, that this organization reached out to the Department of Justice, specifically the Hate Crimes Division, pitching an event where they would go and brief the DOJ on these quote-unquote hate groups. And they did so specifically tying this to their 2023, you know, report on the quote-unquote state of hate in America. What this report is, this is the annual, you know, they call it a survey of hate groups across the country. And this is the report they use to smear conservatives and Christians, and in this case also parental rights groups. So this is the first year. Last year, they added parental rights groups, including Moms for Liberty, including Parents Defending Education. I mean, these are moms and dads, in many cases former school board members, current school board candidates, who want to have a say in their children's education. They've seen, you know, they've seen the COVID lockdowns. They've seen the push of CRT in schools. They've seen this transgender ideology being pushed through public education, this ideology that encourages kids to stunt their growth, to get on these drugs that will impact them long term and put them on a path toward cutting off their healthy body parts in order to make them look like the opposite sex. I mean, this is total Orwellian distortion.
And this is way beyond the parameters when the Southern Poverty Law Center began, and that was protecting rights of minorities, and they didn't need the protection at that point. Now they have basically a crusade underway, and I'm looking at some, and you're right, they claim to be a survey, but they really just kind of doctor it up, and in particular, as you mentioned, they point out in the key message of this year's report, and you've got it printed out here, schools are a primary target for locally driven extremist mobilization. Well, yeah, I would say if you're trying to go in there and preach woke ideology and preach and teach pronouns and gender change, I would say that's an extreme movement. But that's not who they're talking about.
Yeah, no, they're talking about the response. I've seen over and over again the SPLC rhetoric on this. They act as though, you know, everything was just going normally, everything was hunky-dory, and then parents started complaining for no reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because parents supposedly, you know, hate LGBT people, hate minorities, some nonsense like this. When in reality, you know, what we've seen, and this has been a slow march through the institutions of these cultural Marxist elites, but what we're seeing right now is just the flowering of the insanity. You know, we've seen DEI trainings pushed in corporate America, but what we're seeing worse by far, in my opinion, is these CRT lessons in schools, these transgender lessons in schools, where, you know, parents want to send their children to go learn their ABCs to understand basic, you know, rhetoric, grammar, you know, all the things that we grew up learning. I mean,
to be educated, not indoctrinated. But the other part of this, the scary, and not just the scary, but here's where the rubber hits the road. They are taking this information and turning it over to the DOJ and the Attorney General, and they're using this as reasons to act against American citizens.
Yes, and to act against law-abiding. I mean, that's the main thing here. Is the Southern Poverty Law Center, it bills itself as the primary source on hate in the United States. But what it calls hate is oftentimes just conservative opinion, and worse, conservative opinion that contradicts the SPLC's own activism. So the SPLC has an education arm called Learning for Justice. It was previously known as Teaching Tolerance. Apparently, tolerance isn't quite woke enough, so they changed the name to Learning for Justice. But this arm pushes CRT, it pushes transgender lessons in schools, and then at the same time, when you disagree, if you disagree with this ideology, with this activism, you know, the SPLC doesn't just say, oh, we disagree with you. They put you on a map with chapters of the Klan. And this is a clear, you know, in my mind, this is a clear attempt to defame and ritually defame anyone who disagrees. And the SPLC has used it as a tool to alienate and you know, marginalize their ideological opponent.
And they've got a perfect administration to do it in that's willing to accept and say, well, yeah, this all makes sense. We'll just use this as our outline and our playbook for going after them. There's an interesting line, though, that occurs in here in this year's report. I couldn't help but bring it to the forefront because watching the anti-Semitism that has ripped the country apart lately, especially after October 7, and even on the campuses, they were allowed to shout genocide, and those three poison Ivy League presidents could not identify if that was out of character for their code of morals for their students. But it's written in here specifically, looking at too often the Main Street America and disrupting people's daily lives, too often with dire consequences for communities of color, Jewish people, and the LGBTQ plus. How did they get the word Jewish in there without, you know, somebody on the left hollering, PLO, PLO, genocide?
Well, and I mean, this is the interesting thing with both the SPLC and the Biden administration. They're really caught between a rock and a hard place because their staff, and the young foot soldiers on the left are along those lines. They want to sign up. I mean, it's almost like they want to sign up for Hamas.
Yeah.
They're defending, you know, what they call the Palestinian cause. And most of the established, you know, many of the long-term old-style Democrats and many of the SPLC's donors support Israel.
Right.
So they have to, you know, when October 7th happened, notice the SPLC didn't come out with a statement condemning Hamas.
No.
They waited for weeks. Mm-hmm. And finally, when they did come out with a statement, and I think this was intentional, they included in there something blaming Israel for the bombing and targeting of children in Palestine.
Tyler,
which is just like,
Tyler O'Neill, the Daily Signal Heritage Foundation, are you suggesting that the Southern Poverty Law Center is going after all these people, unless there are dollars that might be taken from them?
Oh yeah. So, and I mean, this is an aspect of it that I think gets a lot of attention rightly, is that the SPLC is, it's a very corrupt organization. This hate map is a masterstroke of Morsi's fundraising talents. He's the co-founder of the SPLC, and he realized that if you send out this hate map saying, "Oh, hate across the United States is increasing," you can scare people into ponying up cash. And the SPLC has gotten a little bit clever about the way that they do this, because you notice last year they said the number of hate groups, actual hate groups, has decreased.
Yeah.
But they added anti-government groups to the same map with chapters of the Ku Klux Klan. And it's under that idea that they put Moms for Liberty on there, that they put, you know, they even put the Constitution Party on there. You know, it's almost becoming a who's who of conservatives in America.
Yeah, and it's almost a badge of honor if you get on there. But on top of that, they're going to tell one group, yeah, we're really against farmers. Farmers are a threat to our future because they won't go green and they won't kill all their cattle, so we don't have to worry about methane gas and cows farting. And then they'll turn and go to a group that's all about selling beef and say, well, we're supporting you to get this moving. Wherever the money is what it comes down to. I want to go into one other thing very quickly with you, and that is, with the Southern Poverty Law Center taking this approach and being so direct and at the same time speaking out both sides of its mouth, how do we stop it?
Yeah, it's an excellent question. So, I mean, the main thing that I've been doing is calling attention to it as much as I can. I think it is not a popular thing to see the federal government using its law enforcement power to go after American citizens. And so as much as I can, I'm drawing attention to the fact that the Biden administration is using the Southern Poverty Law Center and illustrating why the Southern Poverty Law Center has no credibility on these things.
One other quick point.
That's why I wrote my book.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead and mention your book. I apologize.
Yeah, no worries. That's why I wrote my book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Yeah. Because I think, you know, many conservatives know that this group doesn't have any authority, but so much of corporate America and evidently the Biden administration, I mean, President Biden's White House has welcomed SPLC leaders and staff at least 11 times. And this is, you know, so I think my book is more important than ever.
May I ask something? Do you have the availability to stay through the break for one other question I wanted to put in front of you?
Yeah, of course.
All right, just please hold through the break. You're listening to Tyler O'Neill with Heritage Foundation, day-to-day operations of the Daily Signal. I want to ask Tyler about the George Soros Foundation taking over radio stations all across America. Stand by for that.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Traveling in a freighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under?
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back, and Tyler O'Neill remaining with us. He is the Daily Operations Manager for the Daily Signal and with Heritage Foundation, also author of the book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tyler, I'm sure you heard as we went to the break, I was raising the issue that I want to get your input. George Soros and his foundation are buying up a group of radio stations under the banner of Odyssey currently because it's in bankruptcy. They have something like 200-plus stations, probably the second-largest radio station owner in America, and some involve conservative stations. And, in fact, in this market there, too, and I have a lot of good friends working at them, so I worry about their jobs and so forth. But when George Soros gets hold of those, one of them at one time when he was alive even carried Rush Limbaugh. You're not going to be hearing conservative talk come out of those stations. How do you see George Soros using what he has at his disposal, along with the Southern Poverty Law Center, basically trying to indoctrinate all America and shut down conservative speech?
Yeah. I mean, this is a very serious issue. So one of the biggest defamation cases that almost made it all the way to the Supreme Court was a case involving Coral Ridge Ministries and the D. James Kennedy Ministries organization. They are a radio producer group, and the SPLC had defamed them, putting them on the hate map with chapters of the Ku Klux Klan. And they sued, and they appealed the ruling against them all the way up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court denied certiorari. But when the Supreme Court did so...
Which means... go ahead. And want to make
sure which means they didn't take up the case.
Right.
And they allowed the lower court decision to stand. And so Supreme Court Justice, I believe it was Clarence Thomas, wrote up a really good, it wasn't a dissenting opinion, but it was, I would have taken up this case and here's why. And he said that it is long past time for us to reexamine New York Times v. Sullivan, and that this case provided a good example of the sort of defamation claim that would open that door.
I remember, you're right, he did do that, and you're right, it wasn't necessarily dissension, but his viewpoint. But if you have the money of a George Soros and you can control a majority of talk radio stations across the nation and our music, but making basically indoctrination avenues and outlets, that's a lot of power.
It is, and it's very scary. So, sorry, I went into that mainly because I think we've already seen a little bit of a tremor of what this might look like, and the evidence is not good. So when people, George Soros' Open Society Foundation has funded the Southern Poverty Law Center in the past.
Right.
I believe that they're ideologically aligned. I mean, it's very interesting. A lot of people, whenever we talk about Soros funding and what it reveals, a lot of people think that we're coming out there with a conspiracy theory. In reality, George Soros is a very wealthy influencer in American politics, and he puts his money to use supporting what he believes is right. And what he believes is right just happens to be the downfall pretty much of the American system.
Point.
And so this has, this has nothing to do with the fact that he is Jewish. My own ancestors are Jewish and fled the pogroms in Russia and in Belarus. So I sympathize with his history. But the fact is his movement is funding the collapse of American society, and it's not good, and it's the kind of thing that
he really does not embrace his Jewish religion. He's made that very clear. He says probably the most un-Jewish person you'd ever meet, but we'll see how this plays out. I will point out to you that there are this station, Newstalk STL, we're privately owned, and we will continue to be a conservative voice. But there are others in town that are going to have to bow down to George Soros, and more importantly, his son coming along behind him, who is reportedly even more progressive. Tyler O'Neill, I thank you very much for you staying around to get into that detail, because that's been bugging me, and you're a perfect person to raise a question and answer it. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You bet. Tyler O'Neill, Day-to-Day Operations, The Daily Signal, and again, his book, Making Hate Pay, The Corruption of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Well, as usual, every time you have a president of the State of the Union address, the opposing party gets to put someone up to offer a response. The GOP chose last night Alabama Senator Katie Britt.
We have the worst inflation in 40 years, and the highest credit card debt in our nation's history. Let that sink in. Hardworking families are struggling to make ends meet today. And with soaring mortgage rates and sky-high childcare costs, they're also struggling to how to plan for tomorrow. The American people are scraping by. While President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working. Goodness, y'all. Bless his heart. We know better.
Bless his little pea-picking heart. That's another way in the South of saying we don't really give a what. Well, of course, she got a lot of flack in her presentation, that it looked too much like an actor. Many of them had no idea who she was. She's sitting in a kitchen. And even one member of the leftist media, an analyst appearing on MSNBC, kind of came to her defense. He is a professor, or rather oversees Georgetown politics, and his response.
I think the two worst jobs in Washington, the two worst gigs you could have, National Party Chair and State of the Union response, right? Like it rarely painful. Goes well. And I think, if any media consultant or campaign staffer who gets that call and says to their boss, hell yeah, you should do this, is doing their boss a disservice more often than not. And when they do, they tend to overproduce. and try to and overcoach and push these people into being someone they are not. Katie Britt actually is a very, very impressive member of the Senate. She is, I think, would be a potent running mate for Donald Trump, and someone I think a debate between Vice President Harris and Senator Britt would actually be a really engaging debate to watch as just a student of politics. But when they overproduce, right?
I can just tell you. Do you want to add anything else to what you just said before the internet get a hold of it, Mom?
No, I think I think tonight she did not live up to her own potential, and I think if you ever watch any of her speeches, you would see that. But what she did tonight, I think, was overproduced. It was a caricature of who they wanted.
In fact, they had her sitting in a kitchen and a green dress. It kind of reminded me very quickly of June Cleaver in Leave It to Beaver. Mom's always walking around fully dressed to go out with her pearls around her neck while she's cooking and or watching over the kids, and same thing with June Cleaver. So that might have been a distraction, but as he was trying to say, I think they just kind of overproduced it, and maybe because she wasn't that well known, she is the youngest Republican woman ever elected to the Senate. And they thought that might be a good idea, but how effective was it? Well, my boots on the ground correspondent sent me this note. Good morning, Commander. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew, for acknowledging that. Have to call it as I see it. Not a fan of Katie Britt's rebuttal last night. It was way too maudlin, like one of those ASPCA commercials asking for donations to save dogs. Regarding the current administration's record, the facts are there. The sappy nature of the rebuttal pulls attention away from the facts. On the positive side, at least we know what the opening skit will be on Saturday Night Live tomorrow. You may be right, Andrew. He said, just think what Vivek would have done with this opportunity. That's a good question. I mean, obviously been entirely different, would have been a lot more fiery. And he said, I suppose the target audience was women. I just doubt this rebuttal struck the right chord with them. Well, I'm not sure I buy everything you say with my boots on the ground correspondent. But I do like your analysis that it's on the sappy nature, kind of makes a little bit like one of those ASPCA commercials, donations save the dogs. So that one sticks with me. Now, the other thing to keep in mind, I also have to admit that I was wrong. I was wrong yesterday. I was sure that there was no chance that Biden would mention the murder of Lake and Hope Riley. No chance. That young nursing student in Georgia, an illegal, was charged with killing her. Well, President Biden did talk about the case, but he blew it in several ways, even in the minds of Democrats. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border, because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth it taking the chance of the $8,000. But if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly.
What is it, Joe? You just said if it's 6 months, they'd be kicked out, or 6 weeks. But then you said if they know they're going to be allowed to get into the country and stay for years till we get around there. Who set that in motion, Joe Biden? You did. And we pointed out numerous times, the guy that is charged with killing Lakin, not Lincoln, Lakin Hope Riley, is an illegal coming through our El Paso sector. They basically gave him parole papers, probation. You got to stay out of trouble, report for a court case some years in the future. He goes to New York City, gets in trouble, arrested by New York City police. They don't hold him for immigration to pick him up. They set him loose. He ends up in Athens, Georgia, and now is charged with killing her. Now, here are several things break apart for Joe Biden and his argument. First of all, the guy came here because Joe Biden has the open-door policy. Yeah, he knew if he could get here and get in, you were going to let him stay, and you have, haven't you, Joe? And then, of course, he's got a pen that Marjorie Taylor Greene gave him when they entered the chamber. It has Lincoln Hope Riley's name on it. He pulled it up, looked at it, but he read it as Lincoln Hope Riley. Well, that fell short of what he was trying to do. Okay, a misstatement of words. But then he used the word that no Democrat, no self-respecting Democrat progressive should use. He said, an illegal killed her. Two things wrong there. Right now, as much as a lot of the evidence I haven't seen, I don't know, but he's still just a suspect. He's not convicted of killing her. But the guy they're holding, we do know, is an illegal. But the Democrats don't like you even using the term illegal, Joe. Have they not gotten that word to you? Well, Nancy Pelosi kind of exploded on CNN's coverage of that, and she said she should have, or he should have called the man undocumented instead of illegal. I guess Nancy hasn't got the word. You're supposed to call them newcomers. And she was upset. She added he should have said undocumented, but it's not a big thing. Well, then, how do you make it such a big deal when we say illegal? But it's not a big thing if Joe Biden says it. It's not a big thing they're still pouring to the border because you won't shut the border. And Joe Biden just said if they know if they pay that cartel $6,000, $10,000 to get the border, they can get across, they can stay. But if they were told, no, you can't stay more than 6 months or 6 weeks before we kick you out, maybe they won't come. Well, then why don't you put that into effect as a policy? And then there's this other part I mentioned to you yesterday. A Georgia Congressman, Mike Collins, introduced the Lincoln Riley Act to Congress. It would require Immigration and Customs Enforcement to issue detainers on illegal immigrants charged with theft or burglary. So if you get them just on that, you're going to detain them, and then you'll probably end up sending them out of the country. So even on that, they'd be held, much less murder. But the Deputy Press Secretary responded to a question on News Nation's The Hill publication or TV presentation. Would Joe Biden support the Lincoln Riley Act that passed the House on a bipartisan basis by stating that the folks who are calling for this, they should really get on board with a bipartisan border security agreement? Well, the host said Lincoln Riley Act passed by the House. All Republicans, 37 Democrats supported it. It would require the detention of any migrant who committed burglary or theft. The illegal immigrant who murdered Lincoln Riley, again, they want to quickly judge the guy already, and committed theft, you're going to let him go? Would the president support the bill? The Senate passes it? The response from the White House is, well, this adds up to a challenge we're facing that's pretty significant for our country, blah, 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 blah. No. Bottom answer. They're wrong on several counts. It is an illegal. And unfortunately, you can't say he did kill her, although we want to believe that. But I do know that Lincoln Hope Riley, finally he did mention it, even though he blew her name. Next hour, Tucker Carlson with a warning. Now, will you believe what Tucker has to say or not? Make sure you're here for it. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.